Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ish to Say. I'm Missy, and I've got some shit to say. So I'm just going to jump right into today's content. I decided to talk about gaslighting. Gaslighting is a form of manipulation and psychological control. Victims of gaslighting are deliberately fed false information that leads them to question what they know to be true. A lot of times, this can be what they know to be true about themselves. They may end up doubting their memory, their perception, and even their sanity. Over time, a gaslighter's manipulations can grow more complex and potent, making it increasingly difficult for the victim to see the truth. So the term gaslighting comes from a play from 1938, way back when, and a movie about this play. It was called Gaslight. Gaslighting can occur in personal or professional relationships, and victims are targeted at the core of their being, their sense of identity and self-worth. Manipulative people who engage in gaslighting do so to attain power over their victims, either because they simply get a warped sense of enjoyment from this, or because they wish to emotionally, physically, or financially control the victim. Now, a relationship with a gaslighter may start off very well. They may praise the victim on a first date and immediately confide in them. When you have this type of disclosure before any intimacy has been established, it kind of establishes trust quickly. But don't be fooled. It's a tactic known as love bombing. The more quickly a victim becomes enamored, the more quickly the next phase of manipulation can begin. So at first, the gaslighter will lie about little simple things, small things, such as what they had for dinner last night, or I spent $25 when they really spent $50. But soon that volume of misinformation grows, and the gaslighter may accuse the victim of lying if he or she questions the narrative. They typically deploy occasional positive reinforcement to confuse the victim. But at the same time, they may attempt to turn others against the victim, even their own family and friends. They may try to tell them that the victim is lying or delusional. I've been through that. Actually, I've been through that with a family member. But it doesn't matter whether they're family, friends, strangers, other loved ones. A gaslighter is going to gaslight. A victim experiences increased self-doubt as a gaslighter insists that what he or she remembers, thinks, and feels is wrong. The manipulative individual will introduce lies in more sensitive arenas, aiming to disrupt and distort foundational aspects of the victim's well-being, wearing them down, establishing confusion, and forcing them to rely on the gaslighter's version of reality. That didn't work with me. It is possible for an individual to manipulate someone without realizing they're doing so. The gaslighter just enjoys having that control over the mind and behavior of the victim. Even if they cannot articulate or acknowledge this fact, they don't know what it is. They can't put their finger on it, but they love it. Some people engage in manipulative behavior because they witnessed it frequently as a child, most often from their parents. Wasn't the case in my situation. Regardless of a gaslighter's level of self-awareness, the behavior is never acceptable. and ignorance of the phenomenon should not be accepted as an excuse for manipulative behaviors. Now, gaslighting can be more effective and successful than many people imagine. Almost anyone can be susceptible to gaslighting tactics. And these tactics have been deployed throughout history and continue to be used today by domestic abusers, dictators, narcissists, and cult leaders. The most effective gaslighters are often the hardest to detect. They may be better recognized by their victim's actions and mental state. Gaslighters can have a personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, and psychopathy chief to them. Manipulators have a tendency to present one face to their victim, and they switch out that face and put on another one to the rest of the world. Now, this can lead their victims to assume that if they ask for help or they speak out, no one is going to believe them with the fact that they have been manipulated and emotionally abused. Gaslighters will typically repeat the tactics across several relationships. Manipulation is a key part of gaslighting, but manipulation is a fairly common tactic, and almost anyone is capable of employing it while gaslighters, but gaslighters are more rare. For example, when you were a kid, did you or did you not try to manipulate your parents into getting you that toy you wanted? Or getting them to believe that they had McDonald's money? Yeah, it's done a lot. Even marketers try to manipulate consumers. But gaslighting involves a pattern of abusive behaviors with the intent to not just influence someone, but to control them. Gaslighting, even though gaslighting can be a part of a narcissistic personality, it is not a core trait of narcissistic personality disorder. A narcissist may be self-promoting and feel superior to others, while that gaslighter aims to make another person question their own self-value. A primary goal of gaslighters is to keep the victim hooked. If a victim disagrees with or questions the abuser may try to make it seem as if they are being victimized by their target. Also, the gaslighter may try to lure back the person, their victim, with positive reinforcement. Many people eventually find a way to escape a gaslighter's influence, and that leaves that manipulator to search for a new target. Most of the time, they already have a new victim in mind. So let's talk about hoovering real quick. So when a gaslighter, someone tries to leave that gaslighter, the gaslighter is going to use something that's called hoovering. And no, I'm not talking about the vacuum. The tactic is they will tell the victim how much they love them and praise them for all of their positive, wonderful, glorious qualities. Then they state, things are going to change between us. But soon, after the victim agrees to stay, things tend to go right back to the way they were. I've experienced that. Gaslighting can be psychologically devastating. It violates trust, destroys a person's view that people in general are good, and can make them suspicious of everyone who is close to them. Falling victim to a gaslighter can also destroy a person's trust in themselves and can make them forget what they once valued about themselves. I mean, it is easy to blame themselves for being too trusting, too vulnerable, or too dependent. Experience with a gaslighter may make a victim never want to be a part of a relationship again. One main way people gaslight is by shifting blame to another person in order for them to avoid accountability. This is known as deflection. For example, a gaslighting parent can blame their child for their own mistakes. Not the child's mistakes, the parent's mistakes. Or an abusive partner can somehow blame the victim for the abuse. You know, it's your fault that I did this. Or it's your fault this happened. Denial of the truth is textbook gaslighting. By denying obvious truths, the victim can begin to lose sight of what is right and what is wrong. And they can begin to question their own reality. Minimizing or dismissing someone's needs is another example of gaslighting in relationships. The gaslighter may make the victim's needs feel unimportant. For example, they may say things like, "Why do you keep asking me for things?" or "You are so needy." This is intended to make the other person question and doubt themselves. Constant disapproval can be a subtle way gaslighters control their victims. For example, a parent constantly disapproving of their child's decisions and questioning their judgment, this will be eventually internalized by the child to the point where they too question their own judgment. It's not uncommon for gaslighters to isolate or otherwise alienate their victims from their support systems in order to gain more control. A gaslighter may say phrases like, "I don't think your family has your best interests at heart." What's really happening in these situations is they're making verbal abuse look like support. So they continue to isolate the victim from their own discernment. Some gaslighters will use that the excuse of love as a justification for their behavior. This is when they say things like, "I only did that because I love you." Not only is this an attempt to alter the way the victim perceives the situation, but in the future, it can discourage them from voicing their own concerns. Another example of gaslighting is where the gaslighter pretends to have forgotten what took place or denies it ever happening. This can be kind of tricky because there's no real way to prove that someone actually forgot something. But, you know, if you didn't forget it as a victim, it happened. On a basic level, simply invalidating someone's emotions is gaslighting. So the gaslighter may say things like, "You don't really feel that way," or "It's not that big of a deal." These phrases are an attempt to make you question your own truth. And personally, they could be infuriating. You don't know how much it angers a person to hear you say, "It's not really that big of a deal," or "You're making it out to be bigger than what it actually is." No, my emotions are my emotions, and they're valid. Withholding information is a part of gaslighting that usually occurs in the workplace, but it can occur in relationships. So for example, a boss or a coworker may intentionally keep information withheld. And as a result, that employee is set up to fail. The victim is scared to ask for clarification because they don't want to appear to be incompetent. But if they do question their boss or their coworker, they are dismissed, blamed, or met with defensiveness. Accusations that a victim is paranoid is another common example of gaslighting. And this can sound like, you're crazy. You're just being paranoid. This comes back to the gaslighter seeking to control the victim's perceptions. Constant criticism ties back to the use of disapproval as a way of controlling someone's behavior. But this is a bit more extreme. Someone is constantly disproving or outright criticizing another person. The victim can internalize these criticisms, feel invalidated, and potentially begin to neglect their own wants and needs, denying their own reality. So, here are some common phrases that gaslighters may use. I never said that. I don't know why you're making such a huge deal of this. It's not that big of a deal. You're being dramatic. No, you're the one with the issue, not me. If you love me, you would fill in the blank. You're delusional. You're just insecure. You're so selfish if you don't do this for me. You're imagining things. You made me do that. And you're just being paranoid. I've heard a few of these quite a few times. That never happened. So someone would say or do something abusive, and then they'll pretend like it never even happened. The victim starts questioning their instincts and relies more and more on the quote reality, end quote, that gets created and manipulated by the abuser. This also creates more of a dependency on the abuser. You're crazy, and other people think so too. On top of making the victims doubt themselves, gaslighters may even make the victim question their own sanity. They may even go as far as to try to convince the victim's families and friends that they're mentally unstable so that they can further discredit any claims that the victim is making. This, unfortunately, decreases the likelihood that the victim's reality will be believed and disconnects them from the resources that would make it possible for them to leave their abuser. I'm sorry you think that I hurt you. While this statement kind of sounds like an apology, it is not. Don't fall for it. This is just a way for an abuser to deflect responsibility and blame the victim. This kind of so-called apology leaves the victim questioning their own judgment and wondering if they really did overreact. It can lead the victim to rely on their abuser's interpretation of events. Do you really think I'd make that up? An abuser will use this phrase when they are accused of lying or fabricating details. The boy's a liar. This is another example that an abuser will use to make a victim question their reality. In using this phrase, abusers are manipulating the victim's understanding of trust. They're attempting to make the victim feel guilty for not trusting them. So when the victim hears this phrase, they will doubt whether the abuser is actually lying and question their own understanding of the truth. You're just trying to confuse me. You're not making any sense. This phrase is used to shift blame away from the abuser and onto the victim. Its purpose is twofold. On one hand, the victim might feel foolish and unable to express how they're actually feeling. On the other hand, they could feel guilty, questioning their own intentions. Using this method of gaslighting, the abuser is trying to make the victim seem like the bad guy in the interaction. Oh, you know I never hurt you. heard this one multiple times. This phrase is another example of an abuser manipulating their victim's understanding of trust. By making themselves out to have pure intentions, they've relieved themselves of any guilt. At the same time, the abuser covers their bases for future offenses. When the victim hears that their abuser would not intentionally hurt them, they question the validity of their emotions and if they have the right to be upset at their partner. Oh, I only did that because I love you. This phrase is an extremely common example of gaslighting in romantic and family relationships. By justifying their intentions as loving, abusers may manipulate victims to thinking that their abuser has their best interests at heart. Therefore, victims will question their natural negative reactions toward the abuse. Because they believe the abuser is acting with love, the victim may feel guilty for feeling angry, afraid, or upset with the abuser. I don't think your family has your best interests at heart. A gaslighter will try to isolate their victim from their support network to gain greater control over their life. By making verbal abuse look like support, they are isolating the victim from their own judgment. You're too sensitive. This is a phrase used by gaslighters to minimize and invalidate the victim's feelings. If the victim tries to express hurt and disappointment, the gaslighter may tell them that they are making a big deal out of nothing. I hate that so much. When parents say this to their children, the child will feel guilty or foolish for even bringing up their emotions into the conversation. The intent of this is to make you feel stupid for even trying to stand up for yourself. Once an abusive partner has broken down the victim's ability to trust their own perceptions, the victim is more likely to put up with the abusive behavior and stay in the relationship. And it's so freaking annoying. Did I mention that? It's frustrating. You should have known how I would react. This is another way that an abuser will deflect responsibility onto the victim. This can make the victim feel guilty or hurt about a situation when they really didn't do anything wrong. When a parent says this to their child, they're putting the responsibility on the child for the outcome of the situation, making the child feel as though their actions caused a negative reaction. Gaslighting involves twisting facts so they can avoid personal ownership of their behaviors. By telling the victim they should have known better, the gaslighter places the blame on the victim for not only speaking up, but also for the abuser's response. That's just nonsense you read on the internet. It's not real. This phrase is another example of diminishing or minimizing feelings. It is another phrase meant to make the victim question their reality and can make them feel stupid or incompetent. It also undermines the validity of the information found on the internet, which is a useful tool for seeking community during difficulty. When older children are confused about new emotions they are feeling, they might turn to the internet for information and for comfort. When this information is undermined, they question not only what they're feeling, but the source that gave them comfort. Thus, this phrase can also isolate the victim. They may no longer turn to outside resources for information, causing increased dependency on their abuser. Oh, it's not bad. Other people have it much worse. When this phrase is used by abusers, it makes a victim feel guilty for the natural emotions that crop up surrounding challenging situations. This example is difficult to recognize as gaslighting because it seems as though the abuser is empathetic toward human suffering. It also may seem like they are attempting to comfort the victim by putting their pain into perspective. However, it undermines the victim's personal emotions and invalidates the challenges they are facing. You don't really feel that way. This phrase is another example used by victim abusers to stifle their victim's emotions. This phrase is dismissive and is meant to make the victim question whether what they're feeling is valid or normal. When parents say this to a child who may not understand their full range of emotions, the child is likely to recognize their natural feelings as somehow wrong. They may later repress those feelings, causing self-doubt down the line. I'm worried about you. You keep forgetting things. This phrase is another example of fake concern in order to undermine someone's reality. By acting concerned about the victim's memory, the abuser seems like they're acting in the victim's best interest. You have a terrible memory. This is a common phrase gaslighters use to make the victims doubt themselves. Of course, everyone experiences trouble with recalling certain details, but gaslighters may make their victims doubt their whole memory, spanning a multitude of situations. In a work environment, abusers may say this to undermine a coworker's work performance, causing them to doubt themselves and potentially embarrass them in front of their coworkers. They do this because getting a victim to question themselves is at the core of gaslighting. When a victim no longer trusts their assessments, the abuser is in complete control. I emailed you about the meeting. Are you sure you didn't get it? This phrase and those like it are meant to shift the blame away from the abuser and onto the victim. In this situation, the abuser likely forgot about the email or intentionally left them off the email thread in order to undermine work performance. Shifting the blame onto the victim is meant to make them question their understanding of reality, as well as feel personal blame, guilt, and incompetence about the ability to do their job. You seem stressed. Not everyone can handle new responsibilities. This example of gaslighting is tricky to recognize, as it is masked in concern for the victim. By faking concern for the victim's stress level, the abuser gains the victim's trust. However, they are also slighting the victim, making them feel uniquely incompetent for being unable to handle a heavy workload. When an abuser says this to a victim, the victim will feel like they are personally flawed and somehow not good enough to perform the task that they have been assigned. This lack of self-confidence can further affect the work performance, adding even more stress onto the victim's plate. This phrase not only undermines the victim's reality, but it also makes the abuser a trusted person in the victim's life. Because they show concern for the victim's memory, the victim may feel the abuser is a good person who wouldn't hurt them. How should one respond to being gaslit? Well, hopefully the previous examples that I've given you will help you get clarity on what's happening. It's important to remember that if you are constantly experiencing confusion, guilt, shame, uncertainty, and self-doubt, you may be experiencing gaslighting in your life. Once you've identified it, show yourself some self-compassion first and foremost. Remind yourself you are not at fault. Seek the advice and insight of a mental health professional so that you can identify if you are a victim of gaslighting, as well as better understand and implement coping mechanisms and ensure you receive a completely objective point of view of your situation. Take one step at a time in the process to disengage from your gaslighter and set boundaries with them. and to surround yourself with people you trust who can validate your experience and your emotions. When we reach out to our support system to share with them our reality, what is happening, what we know, and what we've seen, witnessed, and experienced, we are further integrating our truth into our minds. Think you're being gaslit? Now what? Well, the first step is to recognize the actions as gaslighting. Determining if you're experiencing this type of abuse can be a challenge. As gaslighting tactics, many of them are subtle. You may even be wondering if gaslighting can be unintentional. A behavior might be gaslighting if the person's words or behaviors happen consistently and across situations, if the person's words or behaviors make you doubt yourself, or if their words or behaviors negatively impact your self-worth. It can be helpful to know that a gaslighter has a deep-seated need for control. Recognizing this is often the first step toward gaining knowledge and understanding that can help you cope. Take a note of interactions. Questioning everything you say, do, or remember is a top goal of the person that is gaslighting you. So keeping notes on conversations and interactions is an effective way to handle gaslighting. It can be intimidating to confront someone who's been manipulating you or trying to manipulate you, but having evidence ready could give you more confidence in your recollection of exchanges and events. Lean on your support network. In the confusion of gaslighting, it can be hard to know what the truth is. Building a support system made up of people who offer a realistic view of your abilities can counteract this self-doubt. Talking with a mental health professional can also boost your confidence and help you create strategies when dealing with gaslighting. Be kind to yourself. You know, in today's world, not too many people are kind. It's most important that you are kind to yourself first and foremost before anyone else is. Dealing with gaslighting can drain you both mentally and physically. For example, some research on gaslighting in professional medical settings found that nurses who were gaslit by their employers experienced negative health effects and symptoms of complex PTSD. But isn't that something? That's wild. To help reduce the stress from experiencing gaslighting, consider focusing on self-care activities like hobbies, learning new things, and socializing with friends. Even taking a walk to get away from the situation can be an act of self-care. Caring for yourself might also include taking a close look at this relationship with the gaslighter and deciding if it's something you want to continue. Create boundaries. This is one of the few times that a wall is effective. You hear that, Trump? Creating firm boundaries is essential in all relationships, but it is especially critical when you're dealing with gaslighters. You can try and limit your conversations with the person, or you could just do things like simply walk away when they start to use phrases that make you feel doubt or anxiety. Consider stepping away from debates. A person who engages in gaslighting is unlikely to see things from your perspective. Remember that wall? Attempting to prove that you're right and they're wrong will leave you frustrated and even more confused. It's so much like pushing a wall. It is next to impossible. You can combat gaslighting by stepping away from the situation, the discussion, and distance yourself. No matter how hard you try, it is doubtful that the person doing the gaslighting will change their behaviors. If they've been acting the way that they've been acting for years, chances are they will probably never change unless they choose to, unless they seek mental health help, and choose to change their ways. Sometimes the only option left when trying to handle gaslighting is to create that distance between you and them, whether it's temporary or permanent. So basically, the bottom line is gaslighting is a huge red flag in a relationship that is not in a healthy place. Even when the gaslighting is unintentional, it's still harmful to the receiver. And the behavior always comes from a controlling place on the part of the gaslighter. At the end of the day, it is a form of manipulation and abuse, and it doesn't have a place in a supportive and loving relationship. When we can identify as happening, we are better able to handle it, honor our own needs, and protect our boundaries. So that's my show on gaslighting. If you have any topics that you'd like me to cover, you want to follow up on this, or if you just want to say hi, send me a message at askmissyish@gmail.com. Until next time, take care of yourselves, each other, and our planet, as she's the only one we have. Peace.